Well, picture this. It is a beautiful early fall day. The sun is out, the birds are chirping, and everything feels like it's going your way. Because today, you just got promoted. For the past couple of years, you've been honing your skills, operating at the top of your game as an intelligence analyst. You have been the person who can connect all of the dots, catch the nuance, and produce strong analysis when things get really complicated. You are a fantastic writer and the go-to person on the team. And now the organization has finally recognized that. You're moving into a leadership role. You are excited, maybe a little nervous, but mostly you're proud because this feels like the next step in what you love, just on a bigger scale.
Yep, that's pretty much the ideal case. That's the analyst every team hopes to promote. And honestly, exactly the kind of person you want leading an intelligence team, not just powering through caffeine and willpower.
Absolutely. Right up until the moment they burn out.
Right.
This field is really challenging. We are often asked to do more with less, to operate effectively in uncertain and ambiguous contexts, and deal with some exceptionally heavy topics. And we are accustomed to bringing our A game every day. So we tend to step into leadership the same way we approach being an individual contributor, by doing really, really good work. So the newly promoted analysts will review every product very carefully. They will tweak language. They will strengthen arguments. They will fix assumptions. They will rewrite all of the sections that don't quite land, not because they're controlling or an aspiring micromanager, but because they care about quality. But before long, every piece of analysis has to pass through their brain before it goes out the door. And suddenly, they're trying to do the work of an entire team themselves. Welcome to the Unknown Knowns, where intuition meets tradecraft. I'm Dr. Angela Lewis, and this is a space for people who think for a living. Intelligence professionals, leaders, and decision makers navigating complexity, uncertainty, and imperfect information in a fast-paced world. Each week, we explore how intuition, bias, and judgment shape the way we make sense of complexity and how to get better at it. This week, I am joined by my friend and colleague, Jack Knottbauer, our Associate Director of Product Operations here at Sibylline. And today, we wanted to spend a few minutes talking about something that doesn't always get enough attention in our field, professional development for intelligence teams. And for full transparency, we do have a training course coming up in San Francisco on May the 12th. So this feels like a particularly relevant topic, but more on that later. This is something we care deeply about because it's incredibly important for the development of the intelligence field. We spend a lot of time thinking about risk, uncertainty, and how to support decision makers, but organizations often don't spend enough time thinking about how to develop the people doing that work.
So let's start with something practical. A lot of intelligence teams operate in cost centers, which basically means they're seen as necessary expenses rather than revenue generators. This can make creating budgets for training a tough sell sometimes. So, Angie, why should organizations invest in leadership development for analysts?
That is a great question, and it's a real challenge. Intelligence teams are often evaluated on cost rather than capability. So development can sometimes feel like a nice to have. But the reality is that good intelligence work scales through people. So if you're relying on one or maybe two strong analysts to catch every issue, review every product, and make every judgment call, you've kind of created your own barrier to team growth. Training is really about creating force multipliers, people who can raise the level of thinking across a team. Instead of one person producing the best analysis, you build a system where everyone's judgment improves.
Let's talk about that transition into leadership. I remember when I first got promoted to lead an intelligence team, looking around for my new perch and suddenly realizing, oh, it's a very different view from up here.
Right? That transition can be surprisingly difficult. Some of us, most of us, were rewarded early in our careers for being a stellar individual contributor, the person who could, as I mentioned before, connect all the dots or maybe produce exceptional work. And then suddenly we're asked to lead, and leadership requires a different skill set. It's not just about producing great work yourself, it's about investing in others. And that means coaching and reviewing work thoughtfully and sometimes resisting the urge to just rewrite everything yourself. Even though, yes, sometimes just doing it yourself would be faster, it's just unsustainable over the long haul.
You mentioned the term force multiplier earlier. What does that look like in this context?
So I would say that a force multiplier is a leader who builds capability, not dependency. In other words, the team shouldn't depend on one person's brain in order to produce high-quality analysis. That doesn't mean that leaders don't review products. They absolutely should. But the goal of review is to develop better judgment across the team, not just to fix formatting or impose maybe a personal style. If you do that well, something really interesting happens. The team will start thinking more critically, challenging assumptions earlier and producing stronger analysis before it even reaches that leader's desk. That's when leadership really starts to scale and it lessens the likelihood of burnout.
And when you add AI into the mix, it adds another layer of complexity, right?
Absolutely. AI can accelerate a lot of tasks, drafting, summarizing, even pattern recognition. But it doesn't replace judgment. In fact, it kind of makes judgment even more critical. AI can produce outputs that look polished and confident, but leaders still have to ensure that the reasoning is sound, that the context is understood, and that the language won't create unintended consequences.
So it's definitely not as simple as becoming an expert in using AI tools.
Right. It's how we lead teams that are using AI responsibly and thoughtfully. So how do we evaluate our work to be able to effectively incorporate AI and the speed and scale that it can enable while mitigating against the risks that it presents? And how do you implement those standards across an entire team? And that's not something that you do just automatically. You don't know it when you first get promoted.
All right, let's shift gears a little. In the world of private sector intelligence, there often aren't clear career paths or trajectories. How do you conceptualize analyst development in your view?
Well, so there's a framework in education called Bloom's Taxonomy, which was developed by educational psychologist Dr. Benjamin Bloom at the University of Chicago. And it basically describes how thinking evolves from remembering and understanding information to applying it, analyzing it, evaluating it, and ultimately creating new insights. So early in their careers, Intel professionals spend a lot of time building those foundational skills, learning context, applying tradecraft, analyzing information. But as you gain experience, you start moving into evaluation, really weighing the evidence, testing the hypotheses, making judgments under uncertainty. And leadership pushes you even further up that taxonomy. You're no longer just analyzing information anymore. You're helping other people to think better, shaping those analytic standards and building systems where good judgment shows up across the team. So I think it's actually a really useful framework for understanding how people grow professionally. And it's important to recognize that progression doesn't stop when someone becomes a manager. Leaders need to keep leveling up as well.
Absolutely. And it's funny because we act like training is only for the newbies when, honestly, the rest of us could use the tune-up just as much.
Exactly. In many organizations, professional development is heavily focused on early career stages. But the biggest impact often comes when leaders continue developing their own thinking, because that's when the entire team can grow. When leaders grow, the entire team grows with them. So training becomes a multiplier, not just for one person, but for the whole analytic ecosystem.
So what we're saying is, for teams that are asked to do more with less, training and development for leaders is a really important way to prioritize resources.
Exactly. When you have high performers, it's easy to overlook the importance of their continued development. But it's actually one of the most important places to invest because it really does pay dividends.
And there's also a psychological effect here too, right? Research on motivation consistently shows that when people feel invested in and their growth is supported, they're more likely to develop a sense of ownership and commitment to the organization. So training and professional development is a great way to keep high performers and help them level up while bringing their teams with them.
Yes. And on that note, some of the best learning happens when we get intelligence professionals in a room together to exchange ideas and challenge each other's thinking. So a quick plug for the training course I mentioned earlier. As I mentioned, it will be in San Francisco on May the 12th, and it focuses on leadership for Intel professionals and new managers, so judgment, language, and authority in the age of AI. We'll be talking about this transition from individual contributor to Intel leader, including things like how to review analysis without becoming a bottleneck, how to integrate AI into workflows without losing the critical rigor, and how language and framing can shape the decisions our decision makers and our stakeholders make.
Sounds like a win. How can people sign up?
Head on over to the link in our show notes for more information, and we hope to see you there. Thanks for listening to The Unknown Knowns. If this episode made you think or rethink, share it with a colleague or friend who's ready to level up their tradecraft. Subscribe for more short, sharp conversations about the art and science of professional judgment. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and keep turning intelligence into impact.